Welcome into episode 82 of the Gallia Men podcast. We have a fantastic episode today, as you can tell from the title, I'm sure, as you clicked on it. Why is it great to be a man? There are so many reasons, and we really want to get into those. One of those is going to be fun. We got five reasons. The last one's going to be a little bit fun, and so stick around for that one. But yeah, as we're looking at it, we're just going to hop right in, because I think for the last 15 to 20 years, there's been an assault on masculinity, on men. And really, I think for the last 5 years, probably, it's just been an all-out assault.
It's been ramped up a lot.
Yeah, because toxic masculinity. And then when you had the, why am I blanking on them? The hashtag Me Too movement, right?
Yeah.
And that started, what was that? I mean, I want to say 2016?
That sounds right.
17, somewhere around there.
16, 17, somewhere there.
Really coming in with the Harvey Weinstein. Then it really became men are pigs, right? And all of these things. But it's been a repeated thing in the culture. This has been a problem that's been taking place, like you said, maybe the last 5 years specifically, that we are kind of the lowest citizens, the lowest class citizens in the entire nation. Why is that?
Well, you think about if somebody came out and said, tweeted or put on social media or preached, obviously we're Christians here.
Sure.
It's great to be a man. What would people's reaction be? Like, whoa, are you sure you can say that? Like, it's kind of strange. Like, nobody says that anymore,
right?
Because exactly what Joe's talking about, men are looked at as kind of the worst of the worst, so to speak. Especially white men, of course, in the hierarchy pyramid of intersectionality. White men or white straight males are at the bottom.
Because it's the same thing as white. It's great to be white. Like, whoa,
yeah,
buddy.
You can't
like, it's
say
great
that.
We're not black, but I'm sure it'd be great to be black too. It'd be great to be Hispanic. Whatever it is, like, we should be proud of our nationalities and where we can't. You can't say that. Right, you could say it's great to be black. You can't say it's great to be white.
Well, what's interesting about
women,
that, yes,
man.
You can say it's great to be a woman, and people
Correct.
Do all the time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
But a YouTube video titled "Why It's Great to Be a Man" probably has some eyebrows raised.
Right.
And so I think a lot plays into this. I think the portrayal of men in pop culture, portrayal of men across every major media outlet has contributed to this a good bit. You've got Disney movies now that basically, if it doesn't have a strong female character lead, it's probably not getting to theaters. Like, that seems to be all Disney and all Pixar wants to put out is strong female leads. And, you know, even I remember when Frozen came out, and it, you know, the big deal was it was not the act of love between the guy and the girl, it was the act of love between the sisters.
Yes.
And, you know, it's you know, nothing wrong with that, of course, but it was kind of the first sign of, like, you know, we don't have to have a man, it, you know, us sisters and
yep.
whatnot. And of course Brave was a big one for Disney Pixar. That's an old one, but there's a lot of these where Moana was another one. I don't think there was any love interest in Moana. That was the big deal about that, is that there was no
right.
guy in Moana.
Yep.
And so Disney movies, but even just like shows and movies and stuff that we watch, stuff that, you know, young people and older people are watching. Moms are, you know, I would ask you, like, look at the mom in your favorite TV show. Look at the mom in your favorite, you know, set of movies or whatever. Usually they are portrayed as sensible, very smart, got it all put
confident.
Together. They're confident.
Yep.
They're really responsible. And then ask yourself, how are the dads portrayed? How are the men commonly portrayed? And this is, of course, a generalization here. But by and large, men are, you know, portrayed in the media as immature and goofy. They're portrayed as maybe stupid. They're portrayed as sexual deviance. You know, if they're not goofy and they're not immature, then they're probably cheating on the wife, or they're portrayed as violent, they're portrayed as worthless. Men are painted in a much worse light by the media than women are, again, than moms and wives and things like that, from a general sense. And I think that plays a huge role in why guys are looking around going, man, is it really great to be a man? I mean, we're kind of told everywhere around us that it's not great to be a man. So that's why we wanted to have this episode.
Transgenderism is on the rise. You got a lot of people that are, interestingly, there's a lot transitioning from females to males because they want whatever males have. And it's like, I don't think you understand where the culture is. Like,
yeah,
they look at it as it's great to be a male and men get everything. And that's what feminism tells you, is, you know, men walk in and get everything. No, I don't see that to be the case. I find that, you know, in this culture, especially one of feminism, the weird thing is, in feminist culture, the women are trying to take on masculine characteristics.
Yeah.
So women are leading, and women are confident, and women are everything that you just...
So is it great to be a man or not?
That's exactly it. Like, they apparently think it's great to be a man because they're trying to steal all men's stuff, right? The things that traditionally, like the confident, strong, and masculine type things, they clearly think that's okay, but they want it through the lens of feminism and not through the lens of
right.
men. They want men to be weak. They want them to kind of bow down to the women type of thing. And if a man takes any of these, the smart, sensible, responsible, confident, all those things, if a man comes across as that, it's almost weird in our culture, right? And this is why the Joe Rogans and even Andrew Tate, like he's we had an episode on him, right? Go check that one out. I don't think he's a masculine role model in the least in a positive way, but at the same time,
he is
man
for a lot of people.
Correct. He speaks his mind. He's confident in what he says. Like, there are some things that I think are very, very good, but boy, they hate that. And, you know, they hate him because they want to quiet men in so many areas. And so this could just be like, you know, the old man screaming at clouds type of thing. Like, but we're trying to lay out, this is a serious issue that we're seeing in the culture. And there are absolute reasons why it's great to be a man and biblical reasons why it's great to be a man, as we'll get to shortly. But this is the toxic masculinity that we're kind of painting the culture, the way that the culture paints us, I should say. But strong, confident, competent, masculine males are scarce in this culture. We want to bring that back.
Well, and let me just tell you real quick what it leads to. I probably should have put this as a bullet point on our outline, but it's not. What, first of all, why this is important and why it is, and we feel it's important to communicate to anybody who, you know, cares to listen to us, why it's great to be a man is because if you grow up and you get married and you become a dad and you have this perspective of masculinity is toxic, or maybe I should kind of tone down some of my masculine characteristics,
apologize
for him, or just be kind of a good boy, be a nice guy, it is going to severely negatively affect your marriage. It's going to severely negatively affect your parenting,
your legacy,
what you do in life, your career. Like, the world is best and progress is made and families are the strongest when men are strong, masculine men who are competent, who are confident, and who get things done. But that's what's frowned upon right now. That's what's under assault. And so if you grow up thinking, well, those things are bad, again, it's just going to, you're not going to be as strong leading your family. You're not going to be as competent in the workplace. You're not going to be as, it affects so many different areas. Your marriage is not going to be as strong. And so this is really important stuff. Joe, I want to talk about real quick, and I know you've got some thoughts on this. One of the reasons why I think men are kind of shying away from taking up responsibility in the church, in their homes, they kind of let mom run the show, kids can kind of do whatever they want to do when they get older, dad just goes to work, clocks in his 40 hours and sits in the recliner, as the old trope goes, is because there is a level of they have the responsibility, but they don't get any of the privilege. And so it's like, if I don't get any of the privilege that comes with the responsibility, well, forget that. I'll just give up the responsibility. And I think we're seeing that in a lot of instances.
Yeah. I mean, why try? Why do it? If I'm going to have to take care of the family, I'm going to have to lead, I'm going to have to do all these things, and my wife still is not going to respect me, my wife is still not going to listen to me, my kids are going to make fun of me, and I'm going to be the butt of every joke, why would I?
Yeah.
Why would I step up? Like, it's all of the work and none of the pay for the work. And so you're going to work every day for nothing in the bank account. There's reasons why we do these things. And one of the reasons why we step up is because respect is intended to be given. And we know from scripture, the woman is to respect her husband, right? To respect his authority, regardless of whether he is a great man or not. I mean, I think you can look at 1 Peter 3 as such. We're going to get into that actually on our first point. But you can look at, her job is going to stay the same, but for us men, we want to give them a reason to respect us. But for the women, you have to get to the point of realizing, if you're not going to give your husband respect, if you're going to run over him at every turn, why in the world would you want him to lead? Why in the world is he going to? He gets none of the accolades. He gets none of the, again, pay, quote unquote, that comes with all of the difficult stuff, all the credit. So yeah, I think you have a lot of guys who are rebelling against it, kind of bucking that, going, okay, my wife is going to take, she's going to make more of the money and she's going to do all of these things and I'll be the manny. I'll stay home with the kids. And so it's just completely flipped upside down. It's like, well, whatever works for you. And the guy never makes any big statement in the home. He doesn't lead the home. There are times where they split the family name. Like, oh, we'll do a hyphenated name, right? And you don't actually take it. It'll be like Wilkie/Smith type of thing. What in the world? I mean, and guys go along with this because they're trying to be good boys and because masculinity is wrong and all these things. Absolutely not. So I think it's imperative for a guy to recognize one of the reasons we do this is there is a reward at the end, or there's intended to be. Choose a good wife, choose a good woman who's going to show that respect and who's going to give the credit and the reward that you are due by taking masculine leadership in the home.
Give a sports analogy real quick. Why does every young kid and really everybody, if they could choose, why would they choose to be the quarterback of a football team? There's a lot of privilege that comes with being a quarterback.
Right.
You are
a lot of work.
You are the face of the franchise. You obviously, You get paid more. And so, but obviously the responsibility is heavier in the sense of you get the blame if your team is bad. Yep. You are the one that has to typically answer the questions at the presser if things are going poorly. Like
you have to know the playbook forward, backwards, inside out.
You've got to set the culture. You've got to be a leader. You don't have the option of being a quarterback saying, nah, I'm just going to stay in the background. My quarterback has to lead. There's a lot of responsibility.
That's a great point.
But guess what? Quarterbacks are the highest paid position.
Right.
They get the really nice houses. They get the endorsement deals, the sponsorships, and all these things. Can you imagine if there was a position, if the quarterback was a position and it was the least paid, no sponsorship deals, and you know they were just kind of a part of the team? Nobody would want to be a quarterback.
But they still got all the blame.
Right.
When things went wrong, they still got all the blame.
Right. Yep. Still got all the blame. Still had to answer all the tough questions. They still, you know, got blasted by ESPN and Fox Sports and all that. Nobody was allowed to be a quarterback.
That's a great point.
But the quarterback has a lot of responsibility, but they also get a lot of privilege. That's kind of tied to exactly what Joe's saying here is, being a man, specifically being a husband and father, that does come with a lot of responsibility.
Yes, it does.
And if the family dynamic and if culture is set up to give the man all of the responsibility but none of the credit, none of the privilege, yeah, that's not anything anybody would want to sign up for. So, Joe, let's go ahead and get into these unless you have anything else to add to that.
Yeah, and I want you to get into these because we'll put together a great outline here. We have, like I said, we have five reasons why it is great to be a man. And some of these are going to be biblical. Some of these are going to be not as biblical, but just things that we're seeing. But Will, I want you to get us into the first one because I think this is interesting. I already referenced 1 Peter 3. We have one here, and I can pull it up while you're kind of
if you want to go ahead and pull it up. Yeah. So, real quick, I mean, we are obviously going to be. I understand we might have some people watching this that are not maybe Christian-ish. They're not religiously based. Understand, we are coming at it from the from two perspectives. One, from a Christian perspective in a general sense, but secondly, from a biblical patriarchy perspective in the sense of we believe the husband is, you know, biblically responsible to lead his wife, lead his kids. That's kind of the way the home is supposed to be set up. So understand that as we go through these. And so number one, reason why it's great to be a man is you are the stronger vessel. So 1 Peter 3:7, Joe, if you want to read that, talks about, to paraphrase it very quickly, the woman is the weaker vessel. Well, if the woman's the weaker vessel, what does that make the man? The stronger vessel.
Yeah, you husbands in the same way live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of grace, or of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered.
So in that, you see some of the responsibility that we're talking about is you are to treat the woman with honor, with respect, and she is the weaker vessel. But within that, also, you see the privilege of you're the stronger vessel. You're the stronger, you know, side of things. And so that is going to come with some really great things. It means you are the one responsible for protecting your family. But again, that doesn't have to be seen as a negative. Hopefully you see that as a good thing. Like when you hear a sound in the middle of the night, you're the one getting out of bed to go check that out. You are the one who, right, you know, I don't know. It's just kind of a not arrogant pride, but a pride thing. Like I'm the one that takes care of my family. I'm the one that protects my kids from, you know, X, Y, Z or whatever. That's a really, really good thing. And so obviously that's going to tie into other things as well. Lifting weights, you know, exercising, just getting physically stronger. Again, things that are somewhat looked down upon by a lot of people. That's a really good thing. It feels great to go to the gym and work. I mean, gym podcast here. We've had multiple episodes talking about the value of working out. That's a good thing. And it's time that we see strength, physical strength, mental strength. Mental strength, we need to talk about that. Mental strength is huge. But it's way past time we see that as a good thing rather than a bad thing. That's one of the reasons why it's great to be a man.
Yeah, I think the one that's, I like mental strength. I like you mentioning that. One of those that I think kind of goes by the wayside, and I think what goes along with this is emotional strength. Being the stronger vessel and realizing women, a lot of times, are not as structured emotionally. They feel their emotions more. In some ways, that's a huge blessing. In other ways, that can be they can think more from an emotional standpoint. Guys, a lot of times, think more from a logical standpoint. Men have swung the pendulum so far where they look at emotion as a problem. Oh no, men don't cry. Men don't feel emotion. That is not accurate in the least. You look at somebody as manly as David, he's killing giants and lions and bears and things like that. And yet he's weeping or he's dancing with the tambourines, right? Like David is showing emotion. That's more on the Eastern side of things, the Eastern side of the world where they don't struggle with this as much, but we have shut off emotion and we think that makes us stronger. That's not what makes us stronger. We want to be in touch with our wives. We want to live with her in an understanding way and realize we've been called to be the stronger vessel because she may have moments of weakness. She may have moments where she wants to make the emotional decision. Paul's going to talk about this in 1 Timothy 2. Eve was the one that fell into sin first, right, and was deceived first. which I think goes along with being the weaker vessel, of sometimes they can be swayed a little bit more by the crowd. The man is supposed to be the one that stands up against the crowd and says, absolutely not, this is what we're doing. I know it's against everybody else in this moment, but I'm going to stand up. It's going to be David who stands up while everybody else is cowering and goes, hey, we're going to go kill this giant, right? Nobody else wants to do it. That's what a man does. Whereas a woman is not necessarily going to be the one that steps up to go slay the giant. In today's world, in the topsy-turvy world, maybe she is, but then man has lost the valor and has lost the really the masculinity to go out and protect the woman in that moment. And so that's all what it is. But I want to notice at the end of 1 Peter 3:7 here, so that your prayers will not be hindered. That's huge. Live with your wife in an understanding way, as with the weaker vessel, right? She is going to be a little more swayed by things. She's going to potentially be a little more on the emotional end. That's okay. Those are blessings given by God that when underneath the headship of a strong male ought to be a blessing for both, where he can kind of guide her and she can soften him a little bit. And that's the beauty of marriage, the beauty of what's supposed to happen. But at the end of the day, this will affect your spiritual life. It will affect your life with your relationship with God if you are running over your wife, if you're using all of your strength to not bless her and her weakness, or to let her be the stronger one while you're the weaker one. And that mental strength, I mean, I guess we probably need to move on to the second point, but Will, I'm curious, because you're the one that brought that up, briefly get into mental strength and what you mean by that, because I think that's such a valuable
point. I'm actually going to make an executive decision and say in the next 5 or 6 episodes, let's do an episode emotional strength, where we delve into that a little bit more, and mental strength. We could probably do it in the same episode. Because, we talk about physical strength a lot. Maybe we can do all three kind of sequentially in one episode. But, man, mental strength is so important for guys to have.
Yep.
We live in a world of such flakes, people who just can't. You know, and I know the older generation, the boomers call millennials, snowflakes and all this stuff. I'm talking about, just wimps, just people who cannot get through an 8-hour shift without saying, oh, my goodness, I'm exhausted. You got to have a level of mental strength and just kind of get over it. But there's a lot to that. The emotional strength, I think, would be great to get into. So executive decision, I'm going to pause that discussion, and we're going to come back with another episode.
Yeah, I got a lot more to say on emotional.
I'm sure you do. So let's stay tuned for that one. We'll hit that one.
Well, get us into number two then.
Yes.
Get us number two.
So number two, reason why it's great to be a man, you get to lead. You get to lead. That is a really, really big deal, and this is where some of the privilege comes in. We talked about the responsibility. Being the stronger vessel is privilege, but it's also some responsibility. Getting to lead, that is a lot of the privilege. And I put you get to lead on there. In a lot of ways, you have to lead. There's not really an option. We had an episode, went back and looked. I think it was in the 30s or 40s. It's been a while. We talked about leaders versus followers and how I think we made the point in that episode, you don't always have to be a leader. If everybody was a leader, then, there would be no followers. To some extent, you have to be a follower. Some people have to be followers. When it comes to your family, when it comes to your wife, the buck does stop with you. And so that choice of I don't really want to lead. You don't really get that option. You just don't.
I like what you're saying about you get to lead, because that is a reframing, right? I have to lead. No, you get to. You get to,
it's
and that
a good
goes, that goes yeah. along with our privilege point of there should be some accolades and some privilege and things like that that go along with leading, that you're intended to get some of the glory. You're supposed to hold up your wife in glory and really praise her and see her as this jewel, right? Proverbs 31, and you can see what a massive part of that, of the family that she is. But a man also, what you see in Proverbs 31 is she's going into the gates and helping him get the glory. That's what you're supposed to have, and why this matters in getting to lead. We do get to lead. Well, that is a privilege that I think, once again, because we look at it as we have to lead. No, we get to lead. It's a really, really good thing. We get to set the culture, the tone in our home. I've been on this kick a lot recently. We've talked about this before.
Culture setting is so important.
Culture setting is so important. You don't even have to do everything for everybody in the home. When we first got married, I was not great at leading my wife in Bible study, but I was getting up, praying and doing Bible study every day. She's great at it. She saw that's the culture in the home. That's what we do around here. And now she puts me to shame. In terms of getting up and Bible study and such, that's a tone or the culture that we set in the home. That's what we do here. And then there's things that's not what we do here. It's as simple as we've talked about it before. It's as simple as I cheer for the Colorado Avalanche. That's what we do here. You want to cheer for the Red Wings? You want to cheer for somebody else? Like one of our
get out of my house.
You're out of the will. You're done. You just don't get to, right? That's the culture we set in the home. It's a massive privilege. It's one of the greatest things about being a man is we are responsible for saying this is what we do around here and getting to carry that out.
This is super interesting. And we got like three more points, so I got to move on. But as I'm thinking about it, there is, you know what's out of style these days? Making decisions.
Yeah.
Just in general. Yeah. Like people, and I'm obviously thinking about guys, they don't like to make decisions. It's like, I don't really want to hurt anybody's feelings. I don't want to make the wrong decisions. So I'll just not make. Make decisions. Like, that is a good thing. That's that a is a point. Positive thing. And you know what's great is when you make a decision and that turns out really well and you're like, I made that decision. That's awesome. Yep. Whether it's a family decision, whether it's a decision you decide, you know, or a decision that you make about yourself, your future, your next steps, or when you get into a job and maybe you have to make decisions for other people and that works out, it's like, that's really great. Oh, and it's a cool feeling. That's kind of where I'm, you know, that's one of the privileges of this. But again, it can be looked at, I just feel like it's out of style right now to make decisions. People are always trying to, I guess, please other people or people please it. It's like, I don't really want to make any decisions. Man, make decisions. You're not always going to make the right one, but have the confidence. And last thing I'll say is the most successful people in the world don't have this problem. The most successful people in the world are not like, man, I don't really know what decision I should make. I'm just going to let somebody else make it. No, the successful people are the ones who are making decisions for themselves and for others. And again, it's not that they always make the right ones, but it's that if they make a wrong one, then they learn from it and they move on versus the guy that never wants to make any decisions is never going to progress anywhere.
The key word you used is confidence. And I think that's what's lacking so much is you have to know, you have to have a strong enough self-esteem that if and when you make the wrong decision, you have the self-esteem enough to go, I'll learn from it. I'll grow. I'll be better at this and I can move on.
And that's
on.
How you lead.
Correct. It doesn't define you. You're not a failure. You're not just Mr. Mistake. Like, it's okay. Yeah. It's a, you know, and maybe there are horrible consequences. There are some guys that make terrible decisions, lose tons of money, lose family members, right? Like, at the end of the day, you have to be able to live with yourself and have the confidence to say, I can move on and grow from this.
Yeah.
And that gets us into number three. You get to blaze your own trail. So we have, you are the stronger vessel. You get to lead. Number three, you get to blaze your own trail. And this is getting to decide your path, your career in life, right? Like, or your path in life and your career and all of these different things and who you choose as a spouse. Like, you get to blaze your own trail. That comes with a certain level of confidence. And I think one of the things we're seeing is guys who, I don't know what I want to be in life, right?
Aimless,
they don't know their career. They're a little bit aimless. They don't have the confidence to trailblaze and to say, this is where I'm going. But that's such a privilege of being a man is getting to say, this is where I'm going in life. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to make of myself, especially here in America, where we have the American dream. And I know that's kind of dying and everything else, and everybody's talking about it's really difficult. It's a lot more difficult than it was maybe in the 60s. But there still is this idea of, man, if we can do it, then, you know, like, we have more opportunity than anybody else in the world to make something of ourselves. That's a huge privilege of being a man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't have a lot to say on that. I mean, I think this is a enormous privilege. It's enormous. It's an enormous positive aspect of why it's great to be a man. You get to set your own goals. You get to decide, I'm going to conquer in this area. I'm going to go pursue this. I'm going to go pursue that. And obviously, got to be checks and balances. You don't want to do it to the detriment of your spirituality, detriment of your family, all those things. But man, there is something very American and very, you know, manly and American about just, I want to go do this. I want to learn how to do this. I want to, even on the smaller end, me and Joe, I want to get really good at golf. Great. I mean, a lot of money and a lot of time, but, you know, we'll chip away at it. Pardon the pun there. We'll chip away at it here and there and just try to get good at it. But stuff like that, like, you just get to blaze your own trail is a really great aspect of being a man. But number four, you get to carry on your family name. This is actually one that Joe added after I kind of sent him the original outline that I had. And I'm really glad that he did. I want to make sure he gets to spend the most time talking about it since it's his point. But the aspect of your family name, again, with the maybe mixing of the last names, or there's just not a lot of emphasis on that much anymore. Like, you know, what's your last name? What's your family like? What's your reputation, legacy? People don't really care as much anymore. And we're going to challenge you as godly young men, care about that. That's a really big deal, especially from a manly, godly young men, masculine perspective, is you do get to carry on your family name. And obviously, if you end up having a son or multiple sons, that will continue. There's a lot of thought that needs to go into that.
Absolutely. You're the culmination of hundreds or thousands of years. My brother's really been big on this, and I appreciate his work and his articles on this. Like, you are the culmination of potentially, well, really thousands of years, obviously, going back to Noah and Adam and Eve and such, but, like, from your family name, the Wilkie name goes back a ways. So you got hundreds and hundreds of years, and I decide to just be a knucklehead and ruin it all? I decide to not have kids and to let the family name die? I decide... No, like, the legacy matters. And this is where I would encourage, as godly men, I'd encourage us to start thinking like this. we're here in time and it's like, oh, wow, you know, I'm going to try to make the most of this time. No, I want you to think generationally. I want you to think it took hundreds and hundreds of years of guys going through brutal conditions, surviving winters that they had no business surviving and trailblazing and, you know, moving nations and everything else to get to me. And I'm going to do what? Work at McDonald's for the rest of my life? Like, we didn't have great men in my past conquer, and I want my sons to go out and conquer. We didn't have that happen for me to be a bump on a log and not do anything with it. One of the great things about being a man is the Wilkie name gets to mean something, and I get to be a part of either the link in the chain, or I get to be the one who takes it if it didn't have a good name, which fortunately I think it does. But if it didn't have a good name, I get to change that, right? Yeah, I get to have, like, I get to make my family's name mean something. That's a huge deal. That's a huge privilege that I don't want us godly young men to miss. I want the Wilkie name to be around, especially in Middle Tennessee now, for generations where people go, oh, Wilkies, those are good people. You know, those are really good people. I get to help that. I get to be that link in the chain. What a privilege that is. And my wife gets to help me along the way. It's not that women don't play a part in that, but she was Alyssa Johnson. I'm not Joe Johnson. I'm Joe Wilkie. She's now Alyssa Wilkie. She takes my name. What a privilege. Make the most of that and don't take it like, oh, well, there's a bazillion one Wilkies out there. No, there's one Joe Wilkie, and I'm going to be the best that I can be in this. And I'm going to pass it on to my kids where the Wilkie name has gravitas when you start throwing this around. And you see, like, if I threw out the name Jobs, right? Huh, Musk. Well, that's interesting. Yeah. All of a sudden, like, you know, the alarm bells go off. They made something of their family, and that's going to be passed down to the point that the name Musk means something. The name Jobs, Steve Jobs, means something.
Jonathan Edwards from a spiritual perspective. Yes, from a
spiritual perspective. Jonathan Edwards, like, that name matters to people. And when you say, that's where I come from, how great would it be if in 200 years they're like, Will Harib is your great-great-grandfather? What?
You know, he had a million listeners to the Golly Young
Men podcast.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
That's amazing.
He had $10 million. No. How nice, right? But how cool would that be if in five generations from now, people are looking back like, you're related to so-and-so? That's the privilege we have as men. So I know I get passionate. I know I'm spending some time on this one. But seriously, you get to carry your family name. Make that mean something when it comes to being a man. Get us to number five. This is kind of the fun one we want to leave for.
Before
last,
we get into that, I'll just say, like, I'm sure there's other way more, like, really important stuff that we might have left off the list.
Sure.
These are the four that we came up with. It is great to be a man. It truly, like, don't let the world, don't let your favorite TV show, don't let social media, again, that just makes women out to be the Instagram reels, and, like, my wife and we'll send each other, like, really funny stuff every now and then. Some of them just, like, the man is the worst, and the wife is just the best. Like, it's just all over the place. Like, wives are painted in such a great light, husbands are not. Don't let that disparage your view of masculinity and of being a man. Be a strong, godly young man, and do it for the right reasons.
Do hard things, yeah.
That's right. Number five, again, just kind of for fun, why it's great to be a man. It's because men's hobbies, to me, are just way more fun than girls' hobbies. Like,
coming from a man, but it's just, come on.
A little biased, but like, what a crochet or like,
this is logical. Okay, this is just logical. Like, you can go shopping and spend a ton of money, or you can go play sports.
You can go play basketball. You can play
better
hockey,
yourself.
You can go play golf. Like, it's just way more fun.
Hunting, fishing, right?
Yeah, working out. Like, and I know that there are girls out there that do all of those things, and that's, you know, we're generalizing here.
But they are in men's hobbies. It's a woman doing a man's hobby, not a man doing a woman's hobby. And this, you look at, okay, get their nails done. How cool is it to be able to go out, shoot something, field dress it, put it in your freezer and eat it, and that was all from something that you did.
Yep.
Like, how cool is that? I don't think last time I checked, getting nails done is not is not the same, right? So this is all in jest. We're gonna have women get on there.
This is the toxic masculinity part, right?
Yeah, exactly. How dare you? But it's like, our hobbies are better.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, they just are.
Exactly. That's all we've got for this week. We got an episode coming up here in the future, probably in the next three or four, about maybe some more pillars of masculinity. There's a great article that me and Joe have found. Joe found it, sent it to me, and I'll save the discussion for that episode, but we got some more just kind of basic masculinity stuff in the works. Stay tuned for that, but for now, this has been episode 82 of the Godly Young Men podcast. We can't wait to talk to you guys next week.